Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, happy Sabbath again, church family. Today's the day of the Lord. We shall rejoice. Where else would we be than in the house of the Lord? You know, it's a great privilege to be here with all of you, and indeed, summer has started to come. For a while, we weren't sure if we would make it. The weather had a mind of its own, but it's starting to get warmer and warmer, and soon we'll say it's too hot. But my heart is just so filled with praise. Now, I got to tell you something a little bit personal to me that is happening this summer. You know, it's always special seeing people give their lives to Jesus. And I've been praying in my own family, my uncles and my great uncles, for a long time. They are, some of you know my family story. My grandfather was actually a witch doctor, pagan as they come. And his family, they grew up in that paganism, I mean, literal paganism. And over the course of this summer, as the summer is getting, some of them are giving their life to Jesus and choosing to become Seventh-day Adventist. Now, if that happens, Pastor Mo is going to have to go all the way to Madagascar. So if you don't see me after camp meeting for a little bit, you know what's going on. I have some family matters to attend to. Madagascar is remote already. If you go to Madagascar, it takes about 2 days and a half. And if you want to go see where my relatives are from, you have to go about 8 hours by car. As deep as it gets, to where even Google does not know what it's doing. The only way you can get there is you go with a guide who has an idea in his mind of where you might need to go. And you just go and you go and you go deep into the unknown for about 8 hours, and there's where you are. And there's about 30 of them. And they have been doing Bible studies for about a year. They've been struggling. I mean, if anybody here does not believe that there's a supernatural world, I got to tell you, the devil is real. The manifestations and all the different things happening as they're battling to give their life to Jesus has been a battle. That's why it's taken more than a year, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, they've reached a point where they say, we want to give our life to Jesus. So if that happens, if you don't see me, don't think Pastor has escaped. He has to take care of some family matters. And just keep that in prayer, because for us, it has been a journey, for my dad, a journey of more than 60 years to come to this point. So just keep it in prayer. Amen? And it's also good to see all the young people, all the youth. Praise God. We rejoice when summer comes because school is not happening for some. And we get to see you, and it's always a joy to see the young people here. Young adults, I should say. Young adults. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are humbled because we know that you're coming soon and you're moving in such marked ways that truly, Father, now is the time for us to make a decision. Are we with you or against you? I pray, Father, as we go through the deep study of your word, that you would speak plainly and that we would listen to your word and be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, what is the title of today's sermon? Fahrenheit? Okay. Anybody know what the title is? You can't look in your bulletins. Oh, man, there you go. You see, we are nice with everybody here. 212 Fahrenheit. Now, you might say Pastor Mo probably already lost his mind. What is that all about? Well, in order to figure out what that is all about, turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk, that is a book. Habakkuk chapter 3, if you can find it. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 16. We'll start in verse 16. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 16. If you're there, if you could say good amen. All right, I still see some people are still going there, so we'll be patient. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible records it this way. When I heard, my belly trembled and my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of what, my friends? Of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. And although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield not their meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, that is deer. And he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief's singer on my stringed instrument. Habakkuk summarizes his one desire in this verse that we're going to work through. And his one desire is found in verse 16. And in verse 16, he says these words, my friends. He says that I might find rest in the day of trouble. Don't we live today in the day of trouble? And Habakkuk, as he's looking throughout the book of Habakkuk, he's realizing everything that is about to happen and is taking place to his people and everything he has loved. And he says that all that I want is rest in the day of trouble. He goes on and he talks about it, and as he goes through between the transition of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16, to the transition to verse 17 to 19, Habakkuk finds a joy that will outlast the day of trouble. Go with me to verse 18. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will do what, my friends? Joy in the God of my salvation. 212 Fahrenheit. Anybody knows what happens to water when you boil it to 212 Fahrenheit? 100 Celsius. Oh, I just gave you the answer. What happens when you heat up the water and it reaches 212 Fahrenheit? It starts to boil. And when it starts to boil, it becomes too hot to touch. I know some of you maybe like very, very hot showers, but I can guarantee you, you're probably not taking a 212 Fahrenheit shower. Because when it reaches that temperature, the water begins to boil and it becomes too hot to touch. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16 and so forth, Habakkuk has found a joy that is too hot to touch. It is a joy that even the troubles of this world and everything that he is going through, and he goes through it, my friends, in verse 17. Let's see what he talks about. the things that he might be facing. In verse 17, he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield not their meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will do what, my friends? I will rejoice in the Lord. In other words, Habakkuk has found a joy that is too hot to touch. That the realities of this life cannot touch. Today, let's put it in our context. Today, what might we say if we wanted to say this verse in our day today? It might go a little bit like this. Even though I go to Meijer, and 7 years ago I used to pay $7 for this, now I have to pay $20+ for this. I used to fill up my car for this, but now when I go to the gas station, this might happen. And though all these things might happen in my life, maybe the stalls are failing, all these things are failing in my life. My friends are passing away. My family members are moving away. The things I used to do, I cannot do anymore. And all these things are happening in my life, yet I will do what, my friends? I will rejoice. Amen. Because I have found a joy that is too hot to touch. The question today that we might have is, how do we get that joy? How do we get that joy that even in the day of trouble, we can have rest for our souls? I got to tell you, my friends, this is not something new, but all of us here today, we are going to face trouble. For some of you, maybe right now you're in the worst crisis of your life. You might be right now in the day of trouble where everything you have faced or expected is failing in your life. It doesn't have to be about money. It doesn't have to be about things. It could be about our physical being. What do you do when you can't see well, can't hear well, can't walk well? And all these things are coming to you, and we might say, well, I got to give up. But Jesus says, I have something that cannot be touched by the things of this world. And how do we find that joy? Do you want to know how to find that joy, my friends? Oh man, I think there's only 5% listening to me today. Some of you, I guess you're content to just be, well, this is what it is. But I got to tell you, my friends, there's something better in the Word of God that can take us through the last days. And Jesus, looking at the life of Jesus, we can see how we can have that joy that surpasses all understanding. So like Habakkuk, when the worst is happening, we can say, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Three things really fast for the sake of time we're going to have to go through. There are three things that God does. Go with me again to verse 19. The first thing that Habakkuk tells us is that he says in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. If we want to find today a joy that cannot be robbed, a joy that is too hot to touch, Jesus highlights it in three steps looking at his life. Now we're going to go a little bit deeper than we went last week. We're going to go very deep, and I hope you can hang on. Hopefully deep but simple. There's three things that Jesus did in his life when he had a joy that was too hot to touch. The first thing that he did, go with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The answer we are trying to answer is today, how can we have this unshakable joy? All right, Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. If you're there, if you could say amen. The first thing it says, you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him did what, my friends? Endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The first thing we want to do when we want to have a joy that is unshakable is to realize that the best is yet to come. Notice in verse 2, Jesus, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set what? Before him. The joy that was set before him. The first thing we must do is to realize that the best is yet to come. That the things that we face today, though they might be hard, one day God will make it better. The challenges that you and I face in this world are never going to be permanent. The bad eyesight, it won't be permanent. The backaches, it won't be permanent. The shortage of money won't be permanent. The fear of whatever comes our way in this world, governments, society things, whatever it is we face in this world will not be permanent. Amen? For Jesus assures us that the best is yet to come. When Jesus was walking upon this earth, he faced all manners of trials and tribulation. When the Bible had to describe him in Isaiah chapter 53, he says he was a man acquainted with sorrow. But in Hebrews chapter 12, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. But you might say, well, Pastor Moe, I don't feel that way, and I'm not sure that the best will come. My life right now might be limited. I remember this week, I attended a graduation of, they have this thing downtown of people that have overcome addictions. And they have overcome serious addictions, and they do a ceremony for them if they have been about 8 months sober. A graduation, wonderful event. But I remember as they were talking about, as they were going through this graduation, they kept saying time and time again, talking about the expectation that they might fail again and that they were here if they failed again. Now, that's very good to, in the sense of love. You know, you want to love people, and if somebody fails again, we want to be available to them. But in the back of my mind, I said, you know, God can give us the power to completely overcome. Not in my strength, but in his strength. And that whatever trials and tribulation I am facing today, if Jesus is in the boat, the best will always come. And Jesus has given us three down payments to assure us that the best will come. Are you ready for them? Number one, the cross. There is an undeniable fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Because if he did not rise from the dead, that movement that they had would have stopped. But they did not stop. But they became bold because Jesus was alive. And Jesus died on the cross because he told them that he would come a first time. And if he came the first time and died on the cross, like he said he would, guess what, my friends? He will come again the second time. The cross is the first down payment that the best is to come. The second down payment that Jesus gives us is the Word of God. Is it okay if Pastor Mo geeks out with you for a little bit? Guess how many manuscripts of the Word of God exist? And for this, I don't need ChatGPT or Google. This is a fact. More than 5,000 manuscripts of the Word of God. The closest to that historical work is about 400. And we take that 400 work and say, wow, this is a historical fact, but the Bible has 5,000 plus manuscripts. And they all agree more than 90%. The 10 or so percent are things about punctuation, minor details here and there, but 90%, 5,000 for guess how many years? How long has the Bible been written for? Anybody? Try to guess. Moses was about 1,500 BC. The last writer, John the Apostle, he was close to 90 AD. How long is that? About 1,600 or so. How many of us here have played a game of telephone for 5 minutes? One day we should try the game of telephone. I'll tell Sister Carmen just two sentences, and then we'll end all the way there with Kirk. And then we'll see how it ends up. Yet the Bible, for 1,600 years, is 90% accurate. Among all manners of manuscript written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Now that is just the fact about the Bible. We have not even talked yet about the prophecy of the Bible. Studying the books of Daniel and Revelation, we see without a shadow of a doubt that the Word of God is true. And here's extra credit for you. What about the morality of the Bible? How the morals of the Bible as it talks, Proverbs and so forth, the wisdom sayings of the Bible are relevant for our everyday living. God has given us a down payment of His Word because He tells us, I give you my word because the best is yet to come. How does the Bible end in Revelation chapter 22? Is it Satan winning? It is Jesus. It is Jesus. The third down payment, really fast, is the Holy Spirit. If you and I today, we can ask for the Holy Spirit, and He guides us and He molds us, and you know that voice. And if God has given us the Holy Spirit, we know that that Holy Spirit shall be with us till the end of time. For the best is yet to do what? To come. So number one, realize. Realize that whatever you face today and I face today with Jesus, it will be okay. I can have joy in my troubles because Jesus is in charge. Number two, for the sake of time, we're going to go fast. Number one is realization. Number two, looking at the life of Christ, was His mindset. Let me say that word again. The word is mindset. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. By the way, my friends, are you still with me? Praise God. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. In here, Paul is talking about, and as he talks about in the book of Romans, there's all sorts of things going on among the Romans. And there he tells them a new mindset they should have. And this is the mindset he says they should have. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to verse 5. He says in there, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh out patience, and patience experience or perseverance, and experience gives fruit to what, my friends? Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Here is what he's saying. When you go through tribulation, God is not punishing you. He is building your character up. He is changing the way he is giving us the ability to have patience, to have perseverance, because as we go through the process, we shall become as fine as gold. Mindset was everything to Christ. And I can tell you, my friends, the right mindset makes the world a difference in our Christian walk. You know, Pastor Mo is not crazy. I'm just going to tell you this. But I remember the first time I signed up for 140 miles, 0.6. You have to go to deep places to do 140 miles. And I remember one guy telling me, as you know, your mindset has to be different. It cannot be, as soon as I feel pain, I quit. Your mindset has to be this: when I feel pain, it is weakness leaving my body. Now, we don't want to take that to the extreme, because that could be real. We could get ourselves in real problems. But the mindset was, what is not breaking me down is making me stronger. And the suffering I am going through today in my walk, in my run, in whatever it is building me up for the test, so that when the test comes, I have no fear. I am ready for what shall come. And what Paul is telling them is that when you're facing these challenges in your life right now, Kirk, Kelly, Ricky, it's building you up for the great test. Welcome them and say, God, what are you trying to teach me through this process? Because God never wastes his lessons. Can I tell you one story, my friends? A man had given to his employee, he had given him $1 million project, more than $1 million. This guy, feeling a lot of pressure to finish this project, decided to go through it. But as he went through the project, he made a big blunder, and it cost them more than $1 million to fix. He went into the head guy, the boss's office, with his letter of resignation. He says, I apologize. I am so sorry. I will make this easy. I resign. The boss got mad at him. He says, how dare you quit? He says, I spent $1 million giving you an education, and now you're going to quit? It is the same way with Jesus. How are we going to say when we're going through our trials and tribulation, then we say, God, I quit? When that is the $1 million lesson God is trying to teach us through. Amen. Mindset. Whatever I face, whatever we face, God is always trying to teach us. Because who holds the world? It is our Father's world. The last thing. After we go through our realization that the best is to come, and we learn to develop our mindset, the last thing is application. We must exercise our faith. If we want a joy that is too hot to touch, we need to exercise our faith. Amen? We don't learn to swim on land. We learn to swim on water. It is one thing to come to church and hear things and hear music and all these wonderful things, but if we don't apply what we learn, we are never going to have the experience. And for Habakkuk, as he goes through his list of things that might fail, at the end of the day, Habakkuk has to take the step of faith and say, you know what? Do all these things happen, I will choose to have faith. And for us here today, Lansing, whatever comes in the day of trouble, choose to take God at his word. and you will have a joy that the world cannot take. So three things. Realize that the best is to do what? Is to come. Have a mindset of a learner, not the mindset of a victim. Say, God, you're teaching me through this, and if you have allowed me to go through this, you will take me out of the fire. But I am willing to learn and to be humble and trust. And number three, move by faith. Move by faith. Take God at His word and jump into the water and swim. And God will give you an experience in the things of God unlike any other. And like Habakkuk, when the vine shall fail, and the things come that fail, you will be able to say, I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there is indeed sunshine in our souls today because we have a God that is unmovable. So, Father, as we go from this place, may there be joy in our hearts because of Jesus in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.